Ladies and gentlemen, happy Friday. Welcome back to Letterman Row. It is Mick Walker over there in that nice Pick North shirt. It is me, Spencer Holbrook, in my Rowback activewear, best fit, best feel. You guys know the deal by now. We'll get into that a little later. Right now, we're going to talk Ohio State football recruiting. The Buckeyes continue to be hot on the trail. Let's get into it. Mick, how are you doing? Happy Friday.
I'm doing great, man. The wife has the day off, so I'm just doing a little podcast with Spence before I go spend some time with her after getting my work done this morning. So we're enjoying our Friday around here. Happy Good Friday, everybody.
Yeah, happy Good Friday. If you celebrate Good Friday and Easter Sunday, happy Easter to everybody. I know Easter can be agnostic, so happy Easter to everybody. If you're religious, definitely happy Easter. Let's talk about more celebrations, Mick. Ohio State lands Brock Boyd. He's a wide receiver who is lowly ranked, but guess what? It's a prime heartline wide receiver. Not many worries, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a lowly rank for the three other servers. He's still an on 300 wide receiver, top, I believe, number 224 in the on three, like 2026 on 300. So he's a guy that Charles Power and Cody Valera, who we talked to this week on Letterman Road, likes a lot. Cody did a lot of the wide receiver rankings, from what I understand, in this last update. So we caught up with him, and he just talked about how explosive Brock is. Brock is a guy that just went, I think it was last week, he went 21.7 in the 200. So for anybody that doesn't know what a good 200 time is, anything below 22 seconds is absolutely flying in that event. So he was flying down there. He's got some insane triple jump times or triple jump distances as well. So everything that Brock has kind of done throughout his high school career has been explosive, and he's been insanely productive when it comes to just on the field on Friday nights. I think he had over 100 receptions last year, 1,900 yards, and nearly 20 touchdowns total when it comes to rushing and receiving. He plays at one of the top programs for South Lake Carroll, which obviously produced Quinn Ewers. His brother played at Texas Tech. Like, there's strong bloodline, strong athleticism, strong production. And when you look at the situation, it caught a lot of us by surprise, myself included. But you look at, they already had two wide receivers committed with Chris Henry Jr. and Jaden Ricketts. Now you have Brock, you had assuming pretty much two spots assumed for that, for the rest of the wide receiver class, because Brian Hartline tries to take four. And Brock Boyd's probably looking at it going, if I have the opportunity to get in now, I can get in and I'll have a spot locked in. Meanwhile, now you have guys like Caden Dixon Wyatt, Jerquaden Guilford, and then Jay Lamont kind of looking at this fourth spot going, we all visited this spring. Should we jump in it before we take official visits, or should we wait for officials? Because if we wait, it could be gone. So that's kind of the situation after Brock Boyd, the aftermath. But overall, I'm pretty impressed with what I've seen from Brock Boyd as a player, and talking to coaches and talking to Cody and a lot of these guys that have been able to watch him more in depth. Seems like everybody kind of understands and likes the fit at Ohio State.
Yeah, just flip on the tape. You'll like it too, I promise. Brock Boyd, the number 379 overall player, number 61 wide receiver, the number 52 player in the state of Texas, according to the On3 industry rankings. Screenshot those rankings, date them, and let's come back to them in like October, because I think they will be vastly different. On3, again, the number 224 overall player, the number 32 wide receiver, the number 30 player in the state of Texas. The other services have him at the 40th wide receiver, the 96th, and the 98th wide receiver. Brian Hartline accepted a commitment from this guy in the spring. That means that all of these recruiting services are going to not panic, but make it an absolute point to say, like, okay, if the best wide receiver talent evaluator and developer in college football, maybe ever at this point, looks at a kid and says, I want you in my class this early, what do we have to do to – what are we missing? And so I think you will see Brock Boyd's ranking go nuts in the next 6 months leading up to signing day, in the next 8 months, I suppose, until signing day, almost in the mold of – and I don't even think Hartline really got the benefit of the doubt as much when he took a commitment from Jackson Smith and Jigba when he was like the number 50 wide receiver in America. And then he ends up being a five-star prospect – has over 300 yards in the Rose Bowl. You know the gist. He had over 1,600 yards receiving in a season, first-round pick. So, like, and then just had 1,000 yards in the NFL. Brian Hartline knows what he's looking at. He knows what he's doing. Devin Jordan knows what he's looking at. He knows what he's doing. And Ryan Day knows what he's looking at and what he's doing. If they accept a commitment from this kid, sure. Like, it's not one of these things where, like, not say Matt Grier does this, but, like, it's not one of these things like a safety, or it's not one of these things like a running back where you're like, a little lower-ranked guy, you know, we'll see how it pans out, like, potential flyer. Like, Hartline doesn't take flyers. He takes guys who he thinks you can play in his room. He's going to take you. So I'm cool with this. I don't really have much else analysis wise, because Brian Hartline says yes, I say okay, go for it.
Yeah, and I think if you really dig into it, Brock had been committed to TCU since July, so obviously 5-6-7 month commitment there. But then when you really dig into it, Brian Hartline had about 4 or 5 days on the recruiting trail last, like in January, during the January contact period. He started off in California to see Chris Henry Jr. and Kane Dixon Wyatt at Santa Ana Modern Day. From there, I believe he went to Dallas, Texas. And in Dallas, there's really they've offered 2027 wide receiver Tay Ellis, I believe. I'm sorry if I mispronounced your last name there, Tay. He's out of Crowley, Texas. But other than that, there wasn't anybody direct targets that he could see in Dallas. He wanted to go see Brock Boyd, and he wanted to go see Jalen Mott. Went in there, offered him, got him on camp, got both of them on campus that first week of spring ball, and now Brock is committed, and Jalen will be back on campus for an official visit, just like we said with Kaden Dixon Wyatt and Jaquaden Guilford out of Fort Wayne, Indiana, who is a former Penn State commit. Those three guys are who I'd be kind of circling, talking about for that fourth and final wide receiver spot. Again, all of them visited the spring. All of them are set to visit the summer, but could somebody want to – secure their spot in Brian Hartline's class and in Brian Hartline's room before then, we shall see.
Yeah, so that's the Brock Boyd gist here. And now we can move on because Ohio State hosted quite a few players on Saturday for its annual spring game. It might have hosted more recruits than it did fans. There's only 40,000 fans there, which is a low number. One of the lowest, I think, in the last like 25 years, but it was cold. I mean, like, admittedly, it was cold. This Saturday, if they hosted that with the 75 degrees and a little bit of rain, I still think it would have gotten more than if they hosted it this week. But it's just luck of the draw, right? Like, you plan these things in December and January, you can't really control. Dang, Jackie, I can't control the weather. We'll go a little That 70s Show for you. So, you know, they couldn't control that. But there were a lot of recruits in attendance, Mick. I mean, we were two of the 40,000. So, I mean, I guess we were there. Tell me about some of these guys who visited on Saturday and what the buzz is overall. We don't have to get into individual players, but what's the buzz coming out of last weekend?
Yeah, really positive. Like, if we're just talking, if we just kind of dice it up, there's a lot of the commits on campus. I believe all of them, except for like Chris Henry Jr., who was on campus the previous weekend, were in town. And then obviously Brock Boyd wasn't in town, but he just joined the commit list recently. Other than that, you're looking at a handful of uncommitted guys. Like, yeah, or Blaine Bradford also made it back in, who was a big one. Derek Cooper, the four-star running back out of Miami, he made it back in for his first visit since the fall. He's somebody that's probably right up there with Savion Hyder as Ohio State's top running back targets. Another guy they really love is obviously Faber Akee, who we've talked about a ton on this show, the local running back from Delaware Hayes High School, who visited for the fourth time this spring. Like, Saturday was his fourth visit this spring, which, as we talked about in the last show, was the same amount of visits that Ohio State, the same amount of opportunities that the media got to see Ohio State practice. So Favor's seen really all of it. Kaden Dixon Wyatt, who we mentioned just a minute ago, was back on campus. And really the biggest one, I think, that we can talk about, 26, just because he continues to pop up. And I even asked the guy this, is Derek Coleman Bruza out of Seattle, Washington, four-star edge. And it's like, oh, Seattle guy, like, he's probably only visited a couple times. No, he's flown out to Columbus 3 times. Larry Johnson flew out to Seattle in January. So there's 4 different exchanges where Larry Johnson and Derek Coleman Bruza kind of met each other, sat down, broke bread, talked about football, and kind of and just – chatted about stuff. He's not flying out to Columbus for no reason. Like, he has a genuine interest in Ohio State, and he's probably someone that we should talk about a lot when it comes to just hit Larry Johnson's top edge targets, like in the whole 2026 class. He'll be back on campus for an official visit in June. They're fighting Oregon, USC, and Washington, where his brother goes. But that's, if we're just talking about biggest 2026 prospects on campus, besides the fact that you're getting Blaine Bradford back on campus, it's Derek Coleman Breeze, and then you had a couple of Duncanville edge rushers and Landon Barnes and Kevin Ford that were on campus for the first time. All those guys are seemingly kind of emerging as Larry Johnson's kind of top-ish group in 2026.
Yeah, it's interesting. Derek Coleman Bruce, you like the film. You look at him, he looks like an Ohio State defensive end, the number 158 player in the country, the number 20 edge in the country, and the number one player in the state of Washington. Ohio State obviously just won a national championship with a trio of Washingtonians, I guess. Washingtonites, Washingtonians.
And that's what we talked about on that. When I talked to him on the phone, I saw him on the field dap up G Scott, and I was like, oh, did you know G Scott beforehand? He was actually, G Scott was on my flight from Seattle to Columbus to get back here. So G was probably in his ear, you know, probably, I don't know who had the middle seat in that situation, but they were probably just chatting it up on the plane, talking about what movies they wanted, you know, hey, can I borrow one of your Biscoff cookies? Something like that. I don't know. Derek and G Scott were probably having a good time on the plane.
I love Biscoff cookies, man.
I'll have to give me a couple next week when I'm flying down to Dallas to see some of these guys, including Brock Boyd.
I love Biscoff cookies. But anyway, like I said, Derek Coleman Bruce, like, Ohio State has been known to go into the Pacific Northwest and do damage. Now, they're going to have to battle a new Oregon program. That's not even what it was 5 years ago. They're going to have to battle Washington, who's kind of on the rise a little bit right now. I think Washington's going to be a lot better this year. actually really like Washington's quarterback. We're not giving the Washington Huskies, but you know what I mean? Like, if they show results on the field, like, that can sway recruitments. Oregon, obviously, is going to be a player in the Pacific Northwest. They want to lock down the entire region, recruiting-wise. And it's not every day that there's a top 200 player up there in Washington and Oregon. So I think it'll be a tough pull. But the fact that he was at Ohio State, that's one of the guys that I did want to get your opinion on, because you wrote about him over at LettermanRow.com on Wednesday. It just seemed like it was a really good visit. And we'll see where it goes from there, I suppose. Who else stands out? I see that David Gabriel Georges, I think I'm saying that correctly. What did you hear about him coming out of the visit?
Yeah, I mean, still Steve Wilfong's documented. I've tried to say it as clearly as I can. I think he's Carlos Laughlin's top target in 2027. So to get him back on campus for the first – well, not back on campus. To get him on campus for the first time, his aunt and his mother flew in from Quebec, Canada, where he's from. He plays now down at Baylor School in Chattanooga, but he's from Canada. Both his aunt and his mom flew in for this visit. Get to spend some time around Brady Edmonds. Get some spend some time around Jimmy Callis, who's not committed, but visited again for the spring just because his sister is on campus that he can just stay in her apartment for the week and whenever he wants to visit. Like, that's a guy that I think Ohio State leads for. So to get him on campus with some of these guys that could potentially end up in a class with him was big for David Gabriel Georges. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see him back on camp this summer just for Carlos Laughlin to kind of learn from, like, for those two to work each other out in a camp, you know, get a feel for what the coaching is like, get a feel for what the expectations would be if he ended up at Ohio State. So I expect him back. And even, I mean, Steve Wilfong put the RPM in. I would not be surprised if this is the guy that maybe in the fall, like, we're looking at, like, oh, is David Gabriel Georges going to end up in this class at some point in the near future? I don't know about, like, any time in the next few months, but in the fall, I would not be surprised with that. The other big one I think we should talk about, and you mentioned safeties earlier, obviously McAreary getting Blaine Bradford on campus, getting Simeon Caldwell back on campus was huge for him. But I think the guy he's kind of circled as that Blaine Bradford, Braylon Womack, or even Fiheem Delane in the previous cycle as his, like, top target would be Gavin Williams out of California, who we wrote about again earlier this week. He's somebody that this was his first visit, but talking to a few sources before the visit, it was like, hey, who do you guys really like at safety in 2027? It was we like a handful of guys, but the guy that we really love is Gavin Williams. So getting him on campus, he's another guy, obviously, out in California that you're going to have to fight USC. You're going to have to fight Oregon. Alabama recently offered, and they've done well in California because some of that coaching staff's ties to the West Coast. Like, those are some programs you have to fight. But Gavin Williams, David Gabriel Georges, and then getting Jimmy Callis and Brady Edmonds, some of these guys that you really like or that are already committed back on campus, was the big 2027 headliners.
All right, so let's talk about Brady Edmonds. Let's wrap up here by talking about Brady Edmonds. We like to get you guys in and out of here in 20 minutes. We don't need to sit here and dilly-dally, I guess, if you will, if I'm talking like my grandparents. You saw him throw on Sunday. He was in Ohio Stadium on Saturday. What'd you think? What are your takeaways from seeing the future Ohio State quarterback in action?
Yeah, first and foremost, I think he's still entirely locked in with Ohio State. Not that there's really any questions, but obviously he was here for 3 or 4 days. He's going to be back for 3 or 4 days in June to come in, camp with Ohio State. I think the plan is to camp with Ohio State maybe two or three times at least. In June, like, they're gonna spend 5-6 days out here with, like, I'd imagine his mom will come in town, his dad will come in town. I think he's been wanting to get his sister, who's a student, I believe at Ole Miss, like, up, get her up to campus. Wouldn't be surprised if they all just came in Columbus, spent 4 or 5 days here, knowing that this is where Brady's eventually gonna end up, knowing that they have some ties to the state of Ohio, and that his grandpa kind of grew up rooting for Ohio State. But as far as what I saw on Sunday at the Elite 11 Regional, I mean, I wrote it afterwards, but nobody really has a better fastball in that camp than Brady Edmonds. Like, when he wants to just, when he gets a 3-step drop, 5-step drop and hits his back foot and just unloads it, he can throw it through pretty much any surface, a wall, a brick wall, like whatever wall, like, adage we want to put in here. He has a cannon on his right arm, and that was on display on Sunday. There was a couple of drills where I think it was a little awkward for him, a couple of movement things that I think even Ryan Day or Billy Fester, like, would think are silly drills, but they still just throw them, like, put them through them at Elite 11 to see how they handle the uncomfortable situations. And overall, Brady did well, but I think that his best when he was able to hit his 5-step drop, 3-step drop, and just uncork it to a wide receiver. I mean, he also looked good playing the wide receiver for a couple of these drills. He had a pretty interesting one-handed catch. Like, I think he's a natural athlete for a guy that's 6'5", 200 and some pounds. Like, he is a fluid athlete for a bigger dude. And again, he's got his right arm is a rocket launcher.
Nice. Okay. Well, Buckeyes are going to have another superstar quarterback then, I guess. Ooh, close the book on, right?
Little shades of Will Howard. Obviously, he's still got to do some things physically to develop, but even Brian Stumpf, who we talked to, is the director of the Elite 11 after the camp, he mentioned that, like, there's things there that you go, okay, maybe some Will Howard-ish type of traits. he's obviously bigger than Julian Sand. Like he probably makes Julian Sand look like a little kid at this stage, just to how big Julian Sand is compared to Brady. But like, there's a lot of things to like about physically about what Brady Evans brings to the table, along with kind of the instinctive traits, the ability to play quarterback, and just the personality wise.
Hey, Mick, one of the things that's always fascinating to ask these quarterbacks is who their targets are. Not targets isn't like who they're throwing to, but like, you get a five-star quarterback in your class, it's like, okay, who do you want? Have you gotten a sense at all? And if you haven't, you know, just be honest, with people don't care. Like, we'll have to ask him at some point. You know, like, have you gotten a sense of like who Brady Edmonds wants in this class? Like, who he's been talking to? Like, hey, you know, come to Ohio State. Like, you know, be a part of this class with me. Like, is there a – do you have a list yet? Or are there any top guys that you think that Brady Edmonds is going to try to start going after as this 2027 class starts heating up a little bit?
Yeah, it's interesting. He talked about that kind of in the end of our interview. He's talked to Brian Hartline and Keenan Bailey a lot of just about, hey, who do you guys like in 2027? For people that follow Ohio State recruiting and follow Brian Hartline, he's not going to have a ton of like 2027 targets at this stage. He's going to get a lot of those guys on campus, work them out, and then offer them and kind of build his board out from there. There's a handful of guys, like I mentioned, Tay Ellis, or there's a couple of guys in Texas or out nationally that camped last summer that earned the offer. But like wide receiver wise, it's not a big board. He really mentioned a lot of tight ends because the Keenan Bailey's already kind of built out a small, like inclusive but tight board with that. Brock Williams, who's the number one tight end in the 2027 on 300 out of Libertyville, Illinois, who we'll probably see at some point this fall throughout our travels for different Big Ten games. He visited for the Buckeyes' first spring practice. I know Brady's in contact with him a lot. D'Angelo White, who's one of the biggest freaks in nature in the state of Ohio when it comes to just football prospects. He's probably 6'5", 240. Like, he's the closest thing that I've seen come out of Ohio, like, to Darnell Washington, who plays for our Steelers now and played for, obviously, the Georgia Bulldogs in the college football playoffs and the Ohio State saw him. Like, he's a very physically imposing guy. And then Zach Fares, who's a tight end out of Las Vegas, but spent the first like 7-8 years of his life in Toledo, Ohio. So like, you're looking at some guys that are either from Ohio or ties to the state of Ohio. And those are the guys that Brady Edmonds has kind of circled on. Like I said, he spent a lot of time with Jimmy Callis this weekend, the 4-star offensive tackle out of Pittsburgh Central Catholic, just because he was on campus and those two have been on campus a lot now. But overall, those are kind of the guys. I know he spent a lot of time talking to David Gabriel George's because of, he knows where like Carlos Lachlan thinks of him, but like those are the guys early on. And he's even talking to like some 26 guys. He spent a lot of time talking to Felix Ojo when we were at the Friday open practice for the coaches clinic. I know he's talking to Mark Bowman, who Ohio State's trying to get on campus, the 4-star, maybe even 5-star tight end out of Modern Day, who's in the 2026 class, but was in 2027. I think they have some ties from being in the similar areas from California. And I think Ohio State wants to get him on campus at some point this spring. And Brady's been trying to kind of spearhead that from the peer perspective as well, since Ohio State doesn't have a 2026 quarterback.
What about Jameer Brown?
Yeah, Jameer, he wasn't there for this weekend. He had a Dallas event. He had a 7-on-7 event in Dallas. Brady and him are also talking. They're very close. We talk, like, Jameer constantly posts about Ohio State, retweets stuff about Ohio State. Obviously, like, there's a story out that he visited Texas last week, and he visited Texas with a group of 7-on-7 teammates, went right back up to Dallas the next day. Like, I'm not too worried. He visited for another spring practice this year. He's been very involved with 7-on-7, and he's a guy I'll see here in a couple weeks when they do their Dayton showcases out in Wayne, and we'll get more with him, but I really don't think there's much to worry about Jameer Brown because of Brian Hartline, because of Brady Edmonds. Like, I don't know if there's a better quarterback wide receiver coach combination in 2027 class that somebody can offer than what Ohio State has to offer Jameer Brown. And he's always been a Buckeye. I believe he has a block O or something tattooed on his arm already. So like, obviously we've seen that go good. We've seen that go bad, but regardless, I think things are pretty locked in with Jameer Brown.
Cool. All right. Sounds good. Let's get out of here. There's a student. I don't think there's school today in my neighborhood. There's a student outside playing some instrument. It happens every now and then, especially in the summer. But now that it's warm outside, there's instrument practice going on outside. If you heard that, make sure to, I don't know, compliment the young man or woman whenever you see them. I don't know who it is, but they play the instrument almost every day when it's warm outside. It's finally warm outside. So now, in addition to talking recruiting, I've been listening out of my left ear to whatever instrument is playing. I don't know instruments. I don't know what instrument's playing, but I'm about to go find out. That's Mick Walker on the other side of your screen. I'm just Spencer Holbrook. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Like the video below. Make sure to leave a comment. Tell us we're doofuses. Tell us we're the greatest people ever. I don't care what you say. Just leave a comment. That's fine with me. Go to roback.com, roback.com. Use the code LETTERMAN20, LETTERMEN20, for a generous 20% off your first order over at roback.com. Mick's about to go do it because he yearns for Roback gear. I've already got some. That's right here. It's the best thing in my closet. I wear it every day. But you already know that because you watch Letterman Row every day. And then you go over to LettermanRow.com. $1 for your first 7 days. That's a full week of transfer portal coverage from Nick Walker, from Alex Gleitman, and from myself. We'll see you guys over at LettermanRow.com. We'll see you guys back on the YouTube channel whenever we need to. We'll talk about the Buckeyes.